God's people, let's turn in the scriptures now to Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark and chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we'll be reading verses 1 through 31 of Mark chapter 10. And we'll start in verse 1. You should know that these are the words of God, so give your attention to them. Getting up, he went from there to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. Crowds gathered around him again, and according to his custom, he once more began to teach them. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him, and began to question him whether it was lawful for a man to divorce a wife. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate." In the house, the disciples began questioning him about this again. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she herself divorces her husband and marries another man, she is committing adultery." And they were bringing children to him, so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." That is the word of the Lord. Well, going back to the beginning of our passage, as many times it happened, the Pharisees came and the big crowds came, and the Pharisees were part of those crowds, and they tried to test Jesus. And instead of believing, remember all the signs and sayings and all the things he's done so far, proving that he is the Messiah. And the Pharisees should have seen and known that he is the Messiah. They should have believed, but instead of believing what they knew, they knew this, as God says himself. They suppressed that knowledge and continued trying to trip Jesus up because of their pride. And they questioned him about divorce. And Jesus revealed that what you find in the law about the certificate of divorce was due to the hardness of their hearts. It's because of your fallenness. It's because of your sinfulness. That there was permission to do this in certain times, in certain situations. But as we heard in the preaching of the seventh commandment, how did God create man? God created man from the beginning, before the fall, male and female, and the two become one flesh in the covenant of marriage. And it says in verse 9, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Let no man separate, God says. And apparently, verse 10, the disciples asked Jesus about divorce and adultery. How does this tie into the seventh commandment? If you divorce and marry someone else, you're committing adultery against your former spouse. Or against your spouse that you made a covenant with before God. God is clear about divorce. He's clear on the seventh commandment. And then children are again brought to Jesus, as happened a lot, it seemed in his ministry, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them for doing so. You know, Jesus has, in their minds, Jesus had lots of things to do. Lots of speaking engagements, lots of miracles to do. He doesn't have time for children. And so Jesus responds in his righteous anger and he rebukes them. You are not to withhold the children from coming to Jesus. For such, of such belongs the kingdom of God, he says. And Jesus was blessing him. And then finally, we have the account of the rich young ruler who desired eternal life. He asked, how do I inherit eternal life? And he believed, he kept the commandments of God. Of course, Jesus knows he has not. And he asked, teacher, I have kept all these commandments, fifth through the tenth commandments are the ones Jesus brought up. And Jesus, it says, felt a love for him. And so we notice what it is to love someone. If Jesus here, it says, felt a love for him, what does it mean to have a love for the sinner? It means telling them and showing them their sin, which Jesus does here. It also means to call them to salvation in Christ alone. It says, come and follow me. The sin that he pointed out, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor. Well, he was a rich man. And Jesus says how hard it will be for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Just like a camel going through the eye of a needle, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So poor or rich, it is God who changes the heart and brings one into the kingdom. And really, the end of the passage is really calling us to count all things as loss. As Paul said in Philippians, as we'll hear, Lord willing, one day soon, to count all things as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, even all your possessions. For his sake, Paul says, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And so what he's communicating and Jesus is communicating is that nothing compares to him. Nothing compares to Jesus and all of creation because he is the creator. He is God who is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, power, wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And he is our Savior and Lord. And we are to come unto him as we have in worship today. We are to call others in our love for them to see their sin and come to the one who can save them only, who alone can save them from their sin. And that is love. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you reveal to us what we should already know, that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot change our hearts, which long and desire after sin and wealth and things of this world and your creation, because we have rebelled against you, the Creator, who is blessed forever. We have not loved you. We have not loved your Son. We have not found your Son as more worth than everything else, of infinite worth. But we would rather have gold and silver and our nice homes. And yet, Father, we know that here you're not calling us to give up all things, as we'll hear in the sermon this morning. You're not calling us to give up all our property, but you are calling us to count Jesus and find Jesus as of surpassing worth compared to all other things and all other people. And so, Father, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we would love your Son, and we would take joy in your Son as we take joy in you. Father, we also pray for our marriages, the marriages of our congregation. We thank you that you have brought each spouse together and according to your plan and your predetermining plan. We thank you for your eternal decrees. And Father, we see in each of our marriages, we see the lack of communication or the struggles that we have with our sin and being so close, as you say, one flesh with another sinner. And Father, we ask that you would give us patience with one another, that you would grant us a love for each other as we love you, that we would not be selfish in our desires and our wants, but we would be selfless, especially husbands, who are to model especially your Son Jesus Christ and his example for us, that we would even be willing to give up our lives for our wives and our love for them. Father, we thank you that you have given us one another, and you give us the marriages of our congregation to show forth Christ in the church and to image that forth. We pray that we would see that image, that we would not just count it as earthly marriages, but we would see it for what it truly is, imaging Christ in your church and the love Christ has for our church and the submission that the church ought to give to Christ, and that therefore sanctifying us in our hearts as the church to love Christ and submit unto him as we hear your word today more and more. Father, we pray that you would save those who are our governing authorities and rulers. We ask that you would give us the great privilege of worshiping you freely as we have so many years. And for all of us here, I believe, for all of our lives, we've had that freedom. If not, most of us have. And so, Father, we ask that you would continue that. We also ask that you would sanctify the church. You would sanctify our denomination. We have gone over many times the struggles we've had in our denomination and how often we see that many are not following after your word and loving you above all other things and other gods. Father, we do not ask that you would allow us to be prideful in this, but or that we would boast in ourselves, but we would rather boast in the cross of Christ. We would humble ourselves, knowing that it is by your grace we are where we are, and yet we know, even with us, that our worship is not perfect. And so continue sanctifying us and cleansing us of all sin. Give us sincere hearts as we were called to in the call to worship, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.